Welcome to Theology Thursday, an ecumenical space for students to discuss matters of faith and theology. I'm your host, Connor Grubbs.
And I'm your co-host, Johnny Grubbs.
Man, Johnny got excited. He's the co-host again. Ryan is not with us this evening. And I think Johnny's going to start having, he's going to need to go to a therapist because his role keeps changing and it's just not consistent.
I don't know who I am anymore.
And I know, like, you got really sad when you were demoted back to co-host after being co-host for a couple weeks. And then last week you finally kind of settled back in.
It's an emotional roller coaster.
And now you're the co-host again, though. So right now, yeah, it's an emotional roller coaster and that's never healthy. But right now you're on the high.
Yeah.
You know, right before
I'm gonna enjoy the big drop.
Which enjoy comes it while back I can. Next week.
Yeah.
Lord willing. So... Johnny, how was youth group tonight? We always record this like right after church on Wednesdays, which might change soon, but like, how was it?
It was great. We are doing a series, cleverly titled Risen, which is not cleverly titled, but, it was really good. Been reading a book about resurrection, and by a semi-controversial figure, Eugene Peterson, but he writes some good stuff.
Yeah.
And, tonight we were talking about resurrection meals. We're talking about all these places in the Bible where, particularly after Jesus rose from the dead, where he talked to the disciples or appeared to the disciples and kind of dealt with their baggage over a meal. And Eugene Peterson makes some really interesting comparisons between communion and our interaction with the Lord. So we talked about that, about how just like in communion, the bread is broken. It's taken by the Lord and broken by him, you know, at the Last Supper, that we have to come before the Lord and be broken. And then he restores what is broken and gives it back.
I think it's funny that you mentioned Eugene Peterson, because he was, correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't he the one who did the message?
Yes, he did the message.
Yes, and that's why he's kind of a controversial
figure. Yeah, that's really where that... And then later on in his life, I don't know if I'm jumping a gun, but he talked... People asked him, and this was really close to his death. People asked him, would you do...
You know, we've talked about this on the podcast before, yeah. Whether or not he'd do a gay wedding.
Right.
Yeah.
And his answer was, if there were two Christians... who really love the Lord in good faith, I would do the wedding.
And later on, he had to clarify that you can't be a Christian in good faith.
Right.
And marry.
Right.
Yeah.
He assumed that everybody would know that, being a conservative Christian, and considering himself fairly conservative.
Sure. So we've talked about that before, and that's not actually where I was going with it, although it is interesting. These are just some of the reasons he's kind of a controversial figure. Although that one could kind of be explained, and also... I definitely think the message is something that people shouldn't get so worked up about, because even Eugene Peterson himself acknowledged that it is a paraphrase. It is not a translation.
Right. And if you really, what you need to do if you want to get into Eugene Peterson is read his other works. But he, when the first paraphrase he made was of Philippians, and he did it for a Bible study for like 8 people. And it was meant to be a commentary of Philippians. And then they asked him, and it was really the publishers that pushed him into making it into a published, like, the whole Bible. And he enjoyed doing it, but it wasn't like he thought it was going to be a translation. Yeah, like you're saying.
Yeah, and I think a paraphrase, especially by somebody like him, who's actually very smart and well-educated, is not a bad tool to use as long as we acknowledge it for what it is.
Yeah. Sometimes I will say, I'll admit this, showing my hand here. Sometimes I'll say... a commentator, a wise commentator, puts it like this, and because I really do view the message as a commentary or an exposition on the text rather than the text itself.
Yeah, exactly. And and that's the important thing, is not to recognize it as a text. And as far as I know, Eugene Peterson never claimed that it was.
No, he never did. No,
he was pretty clear about what he he intended it to be.
Right.
So all that being said, I recently got added to a Facebook group. Abby, if you're listening, thank you, because joining this Facebook group has been so fun. Called Everything Bibles. And if we have a listener on here that's part of Everything Bibles, please let us know, because Everything Bibles is so much fun, Johnny. All right, this is a community of people on Facebook who are obsessed with the Bible. But what you see on the Facebook page is not about like what the Bible has to say. It's about translations, publishers, you know, types of Bibles that you can find at the store.
Oh, so there is kind of a segue here.
Yeah. Okay, and we're going to get to it. So, it's a bizarre group because they love premium Bibles. Okay.
Okay, this is going to get a little weird.
No, it's super weird. And I don't, and this isn't to offend like Avi or anybody in the group. I've seen some cool things in there, but it's bizarre because I didn't realize there's this subculture of people who are obsessed with buying expensive premium Bibles and like collecting them.
And I don't want to judge anyone's group either because I don't know them. I just think I know that there are people in other contexts that would be like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, because that same money could be going towards providing,
right,
you know, Bibles in other countries. we don't have to go there.
Yeah, I mean, it gets complicated. It's a gray area because other people have other hobbies, like collecting fine collectibles or whatever. And so,
right, and if those aren't
better, if it's a Bible, right, you know, it's like,
I don't say they're probably on the same level. So then it becomes a whole question: is like collecting things in general a sin? And like, no, but like,
you don't need to go there.
We don't. That's a whole other podcast for another time. But what I'm getting at, mm-hmm, is that I found this subculture kind of humorous, to be honest. And this isn't, sure, insulting anyone. I just thought it was funny because they take it so seriously. And look, I have a premium study Bible that I got. I don't want any more. I didn't, like, after I got that, I wasn't like, I need to collect a bunch of these. But I have it, and it's great.
Well, and I have a confession to make. I probably could be a good candidate for this group. I have several study Bibles. They're not all on the shelf behind me. I just looked back there. But I have Life Application Bible, the Jesus Bible, and by the Passion Conference, I have the John MacArthur Study Bible.
Yeah.
I'm actually about to buy another one. It's coming out in May. So
yeah, I guess I have issues.
Yeah.
It's but it's just funny looking at all the posts because it's all they talk about. So
it's made of Tanzanian leather.
And if you listen to the podcast, you know that I have a very sarcastic sense of humor. And so I didn't realize that my jokes would really fly over everybody in this group's head.
Oh, no.
So I've snuck in as, you know, the host of this, like, theology podcast to... which I think I put on, like, my application to be in the group. You have to answer a few questions to get in.
You have the application?
I say the application. It's like three questions they ask you before you get in. So,
Do you own a premium Bible?
My first comment in the group was somebody put, why is ESV your preferred translation? And I put, because it's the one true Bible.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
It was a joke. But nobody got that. Somebody was like, I remember when the NIV was the one true translation. And I was like,
dude, I'm kidding.
I was like, chill, dude, I'm kidding. And his, no, I said, I'm kidding, and his response was, I'm not. And I'm sorry. If you're listening to this right now, I love you, you're a brother in Christ, but it's just funny to me. I had to clarify. No, I have a very sarcastic sense of humor. I like to poke fun. I don't mean any harm by it, but it just flies over their head. They don't get that it's joking. So I have proceeded to just make some sarcastic remark in every post I see.
I'm gonna go in there and be like, a message is my favorite.
Well, and I posted, and the reason that correlated with, like, it was a good transition is because I just posted a meme in there today that was, it's a bunch of milk cartons, and they each have, like, the text of the meme is, like, the different translations over them, so, like, NIV, ESV, all the different translations, and then, like, there's a tub of Elmer's glue stuck in the middle of the milk cartons, and it says The Message.
That's funny.
So I thought that was kind of funny, so I posted in there, and I got a lot of laughing emojis, and I was like, okay, there's some people who are kind of at ease here, like, as long as it's in the format of a meme and clear that it's a joke, like, they're,
right,
you know, having fun. And one person comments, I don't get it. And I was just like, oh, man.
They've only ever read The Message.
So, we'll see. So, anyway, that was my sub-point for today. There's nothing of substance there. It was really just for fun.
I like it.
So, it's good that we were able to start off with a little bit of a laugh, because the rest of this episode has lots of substance. We were actually supposed to review the new movie Unplanned, which is the true story of Abby Johnson, who used to work for Planned Parenthood, and not only became a Christian, but became a strong pro-life advocate. I haven't seen the movie yet. Hopefully we'll review it on the show soon. I've heard good things about it, and it has sparked this event that's going on this weekend. And if you live here in the area, it's going to be outside the Planned Parenthood office this Saturday in St. Petersburg. Several pastors in the area are coming together to pray against the atrocity that is abortion that's going on in our country. And believers are invited to this candlelight prayer vigil right outside of the Planned Parenthood office on Saturday night. Mm. The movie apparently inspired this event, and it will be happening at, I think, over 150 Planned Parenthood offices throughout the country on the same night. So even if you don't live in the area, I encourage you to do some research and go out and get involved. We are going to be interviewing on today's episode Saul Pichon and Charles DeMarco from New Life Solutions. It is an incredible ministry here serving Pinellas County in the greater Tampa Bay area for part of this pro-life movement that's happening. And now pro-life is going to be the thing we've talked about most on this podcast, which I'm proud of, that it's been something we've been able to use this platform to advocate for. But the fact is, we have a lot of fun on this podcast. This episode, what we're talking about, over the course that it takes you to listen to this episode, even just in the last 10 minutes, statistics say that hundreds of babies have been lost to abortion. And by the time this episode is over, that will have gotten into the thousands. So this episode is a call to action. I would hate for anybody to listen to this and not walk away from it being convicted and empowered to do something about it. Because we all can, and I believe as Christians we're all responsible to.
Amen.
So I'm going to let the episode speak for itself. Saul and Charles have some amazing things to say. They're going to share their stories of how God has brought them to lead this incredible ministry and give you practical tools to be able to do something about it. And so that's why I'm really excited. This is a special episode today. So without further ado, here's Saul and Charles. Well, there is misery, bringing expectancy. And surely we can change. Surely we can change something. It is my honor to welcome on to the show today Charles DeMarco, President and CEO of New Life Solutions, as well as Saul Pichon, of Vice President of New Life Solutions. Thank you so much for joining us today. Appreciate your time.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Absolutely. And let's make sure that the audience knows which voice to connect which name with. Charles, we tell every guest on the show, you can share your testimony, and it can be as brief as you want or as long as you want. We're not going to put a time limit on that. Just whatever you feel comfortable sharing. And I've found that time, we always get positive feedback about that, because it's something we can all resonate with, is how Christ, changed our lives.
Sure. Well, thank you. Thank you, Connor. It's a pleasure to be on with you today. Well, I'm going to go back to 1982, when I was in middle school. And this is a great story, just how the Lord puts people in your life that have such a powerful influence. And a very good friend of mine, when I would spend the night at his house when we were in middle school, and it was a Saturday night, his parents would say, "Charles, you know what? But if you're going to spend the night with us tonight, you're going to go to church with us tomorrow." And they were attending a church right over here in Seminole First Baptist Church. And that's the first time I heard the gospel shared.
Wow.
And I saw people bringing in their Bible, studying scripture. And over time, then my mom and I started to go together. And then we were both saved, accepted Christ as our Savior. And right around that time frame, 82, 83, followed in baptism there. And then a handful of years later, we just moved up the road a little bit, but in 89 started attending Starkey Road Baptist Church. And then my father started attending. His relationship with the Lord soon thereafter, as he professed his salvation as well. And then, so we've been there since 1989. But I look back at my friend and his parents and how influential they were and how they started that whole process of coming really to know the Lord and really helping me through that mentoring stage too. Mm.
Right, and I think such a simple thing is, if you're going to stay here, then come to church with us tomorrow. I mean, what is a simple way to start, but have such an amazing impact?
Yeah.
Absolutely, and I love that. It's funny, the connection there, because I went to Seminole First Baptist all throughout middle school and high school. That's where I went to youth group, and then now I'm a member of Starkey Road.
Yeah. Yes, it is. So. In fact, your mom and dad know the parents I'm referring to,
okay.
Mr. and Mrs. Harrington.
I know them very well as well, so small world.
Yes.
Thank you for sharing that. Saul, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, I come from a Jewish background, and both my parents were Holocaust survivors. So I grew up Jewish, bar mitzvahed at 13, good Jewish boy. But you know, all my life I knew that there was something missing. And even before I got bar mitzvahed, around 10 years old, I was out just walking. And I heard this still small voice that says, you live forever. I could not understand what it, I don't remember, I don't know what it meant, but I remember it so distinctly. And I went on with my, quote, Judaism, but not really totally committed, because I knew there was something that wasn't there. Didn't know what it was, but I knew something was missing. Years later, a Jewish believer witnessed to me, and he was just so full of joy, Connor, just full of joy. And of course, I thought it was because he was wealthy, had a very good job, beautiful home in Bel Air, all the outward things that Jewish children and the Jewish tradition kind of teaches you that your value, your significance is based on your performance, what you accomplish.
Right.
It's not, there wasn't anything that was discussed that our significance is based on the God's love. It just wasn't there. And so, Mark Levy, as he witnessed to me, he shared with me talking about having a vibrant relationship with the living God, and that Jesus is the Messiah. Now here all my life, I'm 36 years old when he started witnessing to me, 35 actually. And all my life, I thought Jesus was a Christian. I didn't even know he was Jewish because I'd never read the word. Very few people had ever witnessed to me. A lot of people apparently think that Jewish people are God's chosen people, so they're going to go to heaven. Well, there's only one way to heaven.
Right.
And that's through Jesus Christ, Jewish Messiah. By the way, and it started making sense to me. So long story short, he invited me to his church, and next thing I knew, I was going forward. And no one made me do that. I had never seen it before. It just, when there was an invitation, I went forward, and these men laid hands on me and prayed over me. And it was a strange type of thing, because I had never had that experience before. And at the time, I was married and had children, two little girls. And my wife had grown up Lutheran. Of course, I had grown up Jewish. And after that service, I said, you know, it's probably kind of neat, and we ought to maybe look at going back. And she goes, no, that's a strange group of people there. You know, because she grew up Lutheran, where they don't have altar calls. They don't have any of that. And again, I grew up without that sense of relationship with the Lord. So we didn't go back. A year later, she left the marriage, just crushed me. And so I went through a deep depression. So I understand what divorce and the fallout of divorce is all about. But when I came through that depression, it was about six months, Connor. When I came through it, I had a heart for God. And long story short, got involved with a church, and that's where I met Terry. Terry and I have been married now for 28 years. And we had both gone through divorces that neither of us wanted. And we were both young in our faith. And since then, it's been all in. I mean, it's all in for the Lord. And whatever He wants us to do, we are going to do. And I love this scripture. It says, Galatians 2:20, that we've been crucified with Christ. And it says, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. It's Christ who lives in me. And that's being sold out. Things that you're representing when you do your podcast. Things that Charles and I you know, what we're all about is we're sold out. We're all in. We're part of New Life Solutions, and we are world changers. We want to transform our community back to a Christ-centered community and help bring our culture back to a culture of life. And so here we are, both of us sold out on the Lord, and we're all in. Neither of us thought we'd ever be here in the pro-life movement, but our wives were the impetus for us being there. Mm-hmm. And I'll share real quickly, and then I'm sure Charles would want to share. My wife had an abortion in her past, and she was married at the time, and the marriage was just in and out. He was not faithful, and he was in and out of the marriage, and had a little girl. They had a little girl, and then she became pregnant, and they had made a decision to terminate the life of that child, unfortunately. Now, through that, Terry became very passionate for life, having been misled and deceived on making that decision.
Right.
And she didn't want that to happen to others. And so through that, our second date was in front of an abortion clinic praying. And little did we know years later that that we would be a part of this wonderful ministry that we were supporting at the time. Mm-hmm. And so here it is 20 years later for us, 20 years in this ministry. And it's been such a blessing. It's not always been easy. Because doing God's work full time is not easy, which you know. You were youth pastor, and now you're doing so many other things for the Lord. So that's how we got involved, and there's just so many stories in between. But to surrender to the Lord and allowing Him to select our spouses, select what we're going to do in life, select where we're going to go to school, all those things. It is amazing when you do it His way. One of my favorite scriptures is you would know it's an Old Testament, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Mm-hmm. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Now, the Jewish version, Connor, the Jewish version is don't do it your way, do it Yahweh's.
Yeah.
Okay? And so what we've learned is don't do it your way, do it God's way.
Yeah.
And it doesn't always make sense. Many times it does, but many times it doesn't. Mm. And so when we are obedient and we're submissive and we're humble, God releases His power. Mm. And then nothing's impossible. Mm. Nothing's impossible. So, you know, that's how we operate here at New Life Solutions.
Right.
And so it's just really amazing. And Charles has some similar thoughts with his wonderful wife as well.
Yeah, well, that's a great story. I appreciate you being so open. Divorce is a topic we actually discussed on the podcast just a few weeks ago, and we've talked about the pro-life movement multiple times on the show before. In fact, I'm proud to say that as of this episode, it is the most talked about topic on this show, I think. You know, as it should be. Most topics we cover once and we don't come back to. We try and give you a crash course and then send you out, give you resources to keep studying. That's really what these episodes are. But for us, this is a movement we want to get behind. You can't be silent on it. And so this is the third, and I'm sure it won't be the last episode discussing this.
Well, it's very topical right now, Connor, given what we as society have witnessed taking place throughout the United States with laws that are being passed, whether it's in New York, Virginia, laws and bills that are being surfaced right here at our state, or laws that are not being affirmed that would protect the life of the unborn or even the born now of what we're seeing.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And the law that was passed in New York, I actually decided to have Scott Mahurin from Florida Preborn Rescue, who does a sidewalk counseling ministry, on the show and come to the college group that I lead to share about defending pro-life ethics, you know, coming up with a defense for it was kind of a random thing having him come back on the show. He had already been on before, but I really felt the Lord pressed me to do it. Well, it turns out that same week that law was passed in New York. I didn't know that when we recorded this episode, but it was released the day after that law was passed.
God knew,
exactly. Yeah. And
perfect
so we've been open-handed when it comes to what we talk about on this show, just letting him, like you said, doing it God's way, because I can come up with a schedule for the whole year, but sometimes there's other things, more pressing things that God wants us to address. And so, well, he mentioned, I want to hear about how your wife has influenced you being in this ministry, for sure.
Yes, yes. I was introduced, similar to Saul, to the pro-life movement through my wife when we first met. We will be married 22 years this month, and but when we met in 1996, that's when I first saw some activities surrounding the pro-life movement, meaning her, my wife, and her parents were very much involved with a group known as the Pregnancy Center of Pinellas County, mm-hmm. which is now known as New Life Solutions. So this was like the precursor to what we are involved in today. And they were very much at a grassroots level, but did the same things. There was the Walk for Life. There were these benefit dinners taking place. There was communication going out about the sanctity of life. And my wife and her parents were very much involved. So I would participate as well. And as time went on and I saw a little bit more of the deeper involvement that my in-laws had, it turns out, too, when you look at the legacy, if you will, and how the Lord has authored this story, really, for the last 30-plus years. You know, as Saul and I are in this succession planning, working so closely together, as I'm being mentored by Saul, learning from Saul, and he's been here the last 20-plus years serving. Prior to Saul, there was another gentleman who served as the president and CEO, maybe for about 10, 11 years. And I mention that because now we're back 30 years, but that's when my in-laws were involved. And they, my father-in-law was on the steering committee, which would now be the equivalent of our board of directors, to help call that first CEO on board. His name was Raul Reyes.
Yeah.
And so my picture's right behind you, actually, Connor. And so he was involved then. So that's how I was exposed to it. So it kind of opened up my eyes to the need for us too, as was mentioned, for someone to step up and speak out. Scripture is very clear that we must be that voice for the voiceless, that
Absolutely.
Defender of the defenseless. And Proverbs goes on to say, don't say you weren't aware. Don't say you weren't aware of this. Like, we are aware now, especially now more than ever. When I say now, I mean in 2019, more than ever, this discussion is topical, national, with a whole spectrum of sides. So we can have this discussion. And
right.
we, as a pro-life movement, need to own it and speak up about it. That's why at New Life Solutions, our vision is to have a world that is abortion-free, salvation-full, discipled, and healed.
Mm.
So we use the model that Jesus used himself, meeting these physical needs as a platform for the higher need of the spiritual need, the eternal need. So that's why we share the gospel with every client that we see. And we meet their physical needs and certainly encourage to choose life. And last year alone, in 2018, New Life Solutions saw nearly 500 babies that were saved between our four pregnancy centers.
Praise God.
Yes.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
So for some of the people listening, they may still be wondering exactly what New Life Solutions is. Scott has done a great job of coming on the show and expressing not just how big of an issue abortion is, because I think some people don't realize the scope of it. Mm-hmm. It really is a modern day Holocaust. It's horrible to see what's happening. But he also did a great job of explaining how big of a problem it is in Pinellas County and Tampa Bay specifically. Our area where we do this podcast and where New Life Solutions is. So what exactly is New Life Solutions doing? I came in, we're here recording at the office, and there's a lot of different logos out on that sign. There's so many different things y'all are doing, and it's incredible. So why don't you share with our listeners what all that is?
Sure.
Yeah.
New Life Solutions, again, you know, our vision to see a world that's abortion-free, salvation-full, discipled, and healed. New Life Solutions represents a handful of life-affirming ministries that partners with local communities, churches, schools to, I like to think of it as everything from prevention to restoration and everything in between. And here's what I mean by that. Our ministries are as follows. We have More to Life. It's a ministry that goes into the public, private, and Christian schools that talks about how choices impact your future, how healthy choices compounded will favorably influence your future, and how if you're making poor choices, what that will do. So what I'm talking about is sexual risk avoidance, abstinence, drugs, alcohol, social media, bullying. And so we've had the opportunity since inception to speak to nearly 170,000 students. And so we're trying to get on the front end of that to show what does marriage look like? What does a healthy relationship look like? All the types of peer pressures that you could imagine that kids are facing in middle school and high school, we address, and how to approach those. Our intervention, our four pregnancy centers, a Woman's Place medical clinic, fully medical, where we offer free of charge to our clients services such as sonograms and ultrasounds and pregnancy tests and STI testing, discipleship classes, life skills classes. We have two in the Tampa Bay area in the Hillsborough County, and then another two in Pinellas County over here. And that's where we saw nearly 500 choose life. Mm-hmm. An interesting statistic, Connor, is that 9 of 10 women that see the sonogram will choose life for their child.
Yeah.
So our goal is to let them know that, hey, you know what? This is not just, sometimes they'll say, oh, it's just a blob of cells. No, look, heartbeat. Look at the child in you. So 9 of 10. See, unlike Planned Parenthood, who's in it for revenue generation, they do not show the ultrasounds to their, because they know exactly what decision will be made. We like to show them that life. So intervention. And then we have restoration, because you can't talk about the weight of abortion without talking about the wholeness, the restoration, and forgiveness found in Christ. You know, Saul often says, and I quote him on this, is that there's a lot of people in our churches today on their way to heaven, but not enjoying the journey. And it's because they're saddled with that guilt, that sadness, that shame. And what our Passages of Hope ministry does is they know they're forgiven. They know they're going to be in heaven, but they haven't forgiven themselves. And they haven't processed this in a way that allows them to forgive themselves. And that's what our Passages of Hope ministry does. Mm-hmm. You know, when you look at, since 1973, over 62 million abortions since 1973. When you look at, in Florida alone, nearly 70,000 abortions last year in the United States. When you look on average in the United States, 1 million abortions a year that are being recorded. That is one every 30 seconds. So in the next 60 minutes, on average in the United States, there will be 120 abortions take place. That's heavy, and for everyone, there's a woman and there's a man. And that's why when we talk about passages, there is another side. Scripture says the God of all comfort, who comforts us, does so in a manner so we could comfort others in the way that he himself has comforted us. Meaning, those that have walked through the pain of an abortion, when they find that healing, when it is finally brought to light through Christ, and not like the enemy wants to keep it silenced and in the dark, it is such a powerful testimony. And you see lives changed as they share their experiences, both women and men. For every woman, for every abortion, there's a woman and a man involved. And we hear powerful testimonies from men as well that have walked through this pain.
Absolutely.
And for men, it would be either they encouraged and put some pressure to go in that direction, or they didn't want it to happen and an abortion still took place, even though they wanted life for their child. In addition to those ministries, too, we have a couple others. We have a birth center, Breath of Life, where families can come in and have their baby. And we also have residential housing for single moms called Shepherd's Village, where we talk about impacting two generations at a time, and where we have single moms with their kids. We recently had two moms selected for Habitat for Humanity, and so we're excited about the life change that's taking place there. All of these ministries, they just meet a whole holistic 360-degree perspective of physical needs, but all of them are used as a platform for eternal needs and sharing Christ with them.
Absolutely. That's incredible. And we're definitely want to get the word out there of what you're doing, because it's amazing to see what God is doing through this ministry. And we've kind of hit it a little bit here and there. You mentioned seeing this ministry before it was even New Life Solutions. But how did this come to be? How did God do it?
You know, the bottom line is that way back in 1973 when Roe versus Wade became a Supreme Court decision, made it legal for men and women to abort their child for any reason through the ninth month. It hit a chord with the Christian community. And there were a group of business men and women, godly men and women here in our community and throughout the nation, that we had to do something about it. Mm-hmm. And so there were, just like Charles was saying, his wife's parents, Mr. and Mrs. Potts, and he was a teacher at what school was that?
St. Pete High School.
St. Pete High School. And he and of course, his wife and a number of other couples got together and said, what are we going to do about it? Mm. And there was a gentleman, Dick Urey, who worked with Merrill Lynch, real professional, and in financial planning. And God put on his heart to go around to the churches and start raising awareness and saying, we've got to do something about this. And the Christian Action Council, way back then, a national organization, was also, God was working on them to say, we got to do something about this and protect the unborn. And these people, nationally, God, you know God did it, just started getting folks together in various communities throughout the country. Here in our backyard, it was these people. And So I think it was four couples who actually put up the money. Each couple put up like, was it $2,000 or $3,000 or $4,000 to open up the first pregnancy center, and it was called the Pregnancy Center of Pinellas County. And one of the couples, Larry and Christine Smith, Larry was an attorney, and so he got the paperwork drawn, put together the articles of incorporation, and they did everything legally, became a 501c3, and here you've got these professionals, grassroots, I mean grassroots, Connor, and saying, this is, we got to do something about it, God, show us. They would pray, they fasted, and God started showing them what to do. And I think what happened, I know what's happened, is it was replicated all over the country. Mm. And so here we were, because see, you're responsible for your mission field. Who's ever listening to this? They could be in Great Britain. They can be all over the world. They're responsible for their community. That's absolutely their mission field. This is ours. Charles and I, we're called for the greater Tampa Bay area that has 3 to 4 million people, if you do the greater part. And by the way, Florida is the third largest provider of abortions in a country, mm-hmm. which is a sad, sad thing. Mm. And so back then, they got together, raised the money, opened up the first pregnancy center, 800 square foot little office in a strip mall, and it was an old unit. But that was the beginning. You know, Scripture says, "Do not despise humble beginnings," mm-hmm. And that's exactly what happened. Is humble beginnings, but with a great vision, mm-hmm. even way back then. This is mm-hmm. 1985. Larry put together the paperwork in 83, 85, it finally became a 501c3, and we opened up our doors. A lot of other things happened. There were people who went to various abortion clinics here in the Tampa Bay area and prayed in front of abortion clinics. And back then, the law was up and down. And some of those people, over 100 people, got arrested just for being in front of abortion clinic wow. praying.
Yeah,
and so there you talk about, there's the beginning of this ministry, and it was out of prayer, and prayer raised it up. Prayer got them thrown in prison too.
Right.
So wow, you put all that together and you say, Lord, what are you doing here? And you know, it's through the times of trials and quote, tribulations and the tough times is when your faith really grows. It really grows. And then there's unity through those trials. And look what's happened. You know, started off with a small operation of 800 square feet. Now we're in four, you know, we have four medical clinics And just as Charles has talked about, we have a birth center. We're the only pregnancy center in the nation to have a birth center. There's been over 1,200 babies born there, born to Christian families as well as non-believing families,
right.
Muslim and Jews and Scientologists. It's there, a service that's provided in order for us to evangelize. And to Shepherd's Village, that you know, we have a 12-unit apartment complex. We want to have 36 units. So, and those four medical clinics, they're in four strategically placed locations, good size operations, and corporate offices here in Largo, 7,500 square feet. Building here, or 7,000 square foot building, and then the birth center behind us is 5,000 square feet. So from 8,000 square feet to what we're doing now, and reflecting back, and Charles touched on it, we have spoken to over 100,000 families now, over 170,000 students. We've I think it's close to 10,000 innocent children have been spared and rescued from abortion, and over 8,000 professions of faith and recommitments. And so that's been a lot of prayer and a lot of work and travail at times, okay? I mean, truly travailing at times. And God's been faithful. God's been faithful. So we claim, bottom line, we claim the Tampa Bay area for Christ.
Amen.
And what Charles was saying, to have an abortion-free, salvation-full, discipled, and healed community. We claim it. It is so big. That vision is so big that it's only possible through the Lord.
Absolutely.
Right? And through who's ever listening to this, and we pray that churches would pick up on this, this podcast. And for the church to come together, all denominations coming
Absolutely.
Together, churches of people. And that's the beauty, kind of segues into our annual Walk for Life. And that is, we're pulling together over 100 churches on both sides of the bay who were asking the people inside the churches to be pledge-raising walkers with the goal of helping save innocent children. And it cost us, with all the medical services that Charles described, it's free to them, but it's
right.
very expensive to us.
Right.
The more medical we are, the more at-risk women we see. And then that gives us the opportunity to save those innocent, help save those innocent children, for that woman or that couple to choose life for their baby and eternal life for themselves.
Right.
So it costs about $1,500 to save a life. And so our desire is that we would have a million dollar walk. But what does that really mean? It means we want to save hundreds of children this
right.
year. Saving and rescue them, and the church is the only way that it can be done. Partnering with the churches, and the neat part is the church doesn't have to start their own pregnancy center. We already have them,
right?
Strategically placed, so the church doesn't have to raise millions of dollars to start something like this. Already in place, and we just ask them to partner with us.
Mm-hmm.
We also know that the church is the bride of Christ.
Right.
The church gets they receive the tithe. We don't want the tithe. We don't want it. We both sit on boards at our churches. He at Starkey, me at Countryside Christian Church. And we know church etiquette and God's principles. And so we do not want the tithe. That goes to the church.
Right.
We want to be in their missions budget. We want to be part of their outreach. And together then we can bring an end to abortion in our community and in our lifetime. That's our goal.
Amen. Yeah. And it's an amazing goal, and it is one that unless God's in it, it's not going to happen.
No.
And so I love hearing, you know, examples of how this ministry was started in prayer and continues to be sustained by prayer. So that's kind of the last thing I want to talk about is how our listeners can get involved, because as I mentioned earlier, this is the most talked about topic on our show, and the reason is because these episodes aren't just, oh, kind of listen and learn. These are calls to action. And so in the link, in the show notes for this episode, there will be a link to the website for New Life Solutions where you can learn more about volunteering and giving and all of that. But also there's an event coming up, the Walk for Life, that we've mentioned a couple times. And I would love for our listeners, especially those who live in this area, but they don't have to live in the area to give to the Walk for Life. But for those who do, there are other ways they can get involved as well. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what Walk for Life is?
Sure. The Walk for Life is our annual event, our annual fundraiser to raise funds specifically to offset all those costs that we talked about as being a fully medical, all those services. And we, in Florida, in the Tampa Bay area, we have four locations of formal walk sites. It's a fun day. You're walking a mile or two. It's very family friendly. Those don't even have to walk. In fact, you don't even have to be, let's say you're listening in another county, another state, overseas. You could walk around your block on that day if you can't make it out. And it still counts. But we have one of the largest walks of its kind in the United States. And it's a time for those in the community who want to get involved and to really participate with us. For those that hear it spoken about in their churches, to be able to be actively involved in something that they are contributing to. Right. So the Walk for Life, where people will be a pledge-raising walker. And what that means is they will walk with us on walk day, regardless of where they are. They will talk to their friends or family and have pledges to support them while they walk. And that's what we use. And that day usually covers, our goal is to cover our operating costs for New Life Solutions for much of that year. And that's, so there's a lot that goes into that. We're getting questions a lot, Connor, about what can I do? How can I get involved? And certainly prayer, number one.
Yeah,
to be praying for us. And we appreciate the speaking up and speaking out, because participating with us, supporting us in what we do with our Walk for Life. It's on May 11th, the Saturday before Mother's Day. We have a walk location in Tampa, three here in Pinellas County, at Indian Rocks, and Countryside, and St. Petersburg, at North Shore. But also, in addition to that, you know, write your legislatures, and write your lawmakers, and get involved, because we are seeing now more than ever. And I bring this up because it is so topical. Right now, Saul and I were just a few weeks ago in Tallahassee, our state capital, to meet with lawmakers that were both pro-life and pro-choice on a bill that was being surfaced that day and also yesterday, and it's still being surfaced. And so we were meeting with senators and representatives, and that bill had to do with parental consent, how one parent must provide consent before their minor child has an abortion. That doesn't exist in Florida right now. For example, what does exist is if your child is at school and needs an aspirin, you need written consent. If your daughter would like to get her ears pierced, you need written consent. If your minor child would like to have an abortion, you do not need written consent right now. And so
it's unbelievable.
That was a bill that was being surfaced just a few weeks ago, and it went through that first round, and it still is now. So this is very topical, and people in our communities are seeing this. They were not aware. So they're saying, how can I get involved? You know, there's a movie that's out right now called Unplanned that is very topical, and it's been out for about 2 weeks and is getting a lot of traction. And it has it's a very powerful movie, and it's the true story of Abby Johnson, who served as a center director for 8 years for Planned Parenthood. And this is her life story. Saul and I have heard her speak multiple times as well, so we have heard her story. But this depicts what she saw and how those scales finally fell off, and how she is passionately pro-life now. And that's what we're looking for, a call to action similar to that, where people will stand up, speak up, and speak out. You know, I like in Proverbs 31, and I know sometimes when, as soon as you say Proverbs 31, you think of the Proverbs 31 woman, and there's so much there, of course, but those first 8-9 verses are a mom talking to her son, the king. And she's providing some very good counsel and character counsel on what to do as king. And some of the things she says is, you stand up for those that cannot stand up for themselves. You stand up for those and provide justice for those that need justice. Mm-hmm. Who much more needs justice than the unborn from us as a Christian community to stand up for them?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yep. Amen.
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 Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing today. Any closing thoughts as we wrap this up?
Well, we once again, you know, thank you for giving us this opportunity for us to share. And we're praying that the listeners out there would be called to action. One of my favorite one-liners these days is all in. We need to be all in.
Absolutely.
And Charles just quoted Proverbs 31, 7 and 8, and that is being all in, and that's what we need to be. So mm-hmm. that's our prayer, is that listeners would go back to their churches, make them more aware of what needs to be done. One person can change the world. Jesus mm-hmm. did. Absolutely. And you look around, and there's been a lot of people, individuals that have changed this world. Groups have changed this world. A church or two or a whole community can change not only that community, but that nation and that and the world. And that's our prayer, that's how effective that this podcast would be.
Absolutely, and we appreciate your prayers as well. The goal is to cultivate an environment that students are reaching across denominational lines, and that we're learning, but this is one of those things you can't just learn and kind of keep it in your head. You have to do something about this. And yeah. So that's my prayer and hope as well.
Amen.
Thank you all for listening, and we'll be back next week. As always, thank you for listening to Theology Thursday. You can find old episodes on iTunes, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, the Google Play Store, YouTube, and Podbean. You can send questions that you want us to answer on the show to theologythursdaypodcast@gmail.com, and you can also find us on Instagram and Facebook. We hope to have you back next Thursday.